Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the UFS Career Services podcast. I'm Matt Cron here, and today I am chatting to Kekeletso Seba King. Now, Kekeletso was originally born in the Free State in a small town called Heilbron. He matriculated at Kwakwa EduU College and attended the Vaal University of Technology. He officially joined Weber Wenzel on the 2nd of October as a graduate recruitment specialist for the firm. He's previously from Pinsent Masons LLP International. Kekeletso was an early talent officer in his previous role and looked after a legal internship program focusing on underprivileged candidates training to be potential CAs. He also assisted first and second year CAs until admission and helped out at career fairs and other events. Kekeletso holds an APSO certified Boolean search and social media certificate from Sage University's HR program, which specializes in skills development, employment equity, performance, and employee management. And he's currently pursuing his national diploma in marketing management. Kekeletso also enjoys go-karting, watching documentaries, being a Project Naledi volunteer, which assists schools with CV writing, coaching, etc., and also going to food markets and online gaming. Kekeletso, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for welcoming me on the show. Look forward to this discussion.
Awesome. So I think, with quite an impressive bio there, there's obviously a lot of volunteering work there, a lot of working for various different large organizations. Before we get into all of those specific details, what made you get into this? What drives you? What is your passion? What is your motivation for getting into this line of work?
I think first and foremost, I don't come from a very privileged background, and I think that's where my passion is, and that's, I think, directed me to the line of career, I guess, that I'm in, because I see a lot of people in our spaces that require a lot of, you know, hand holding and lack of exposure. Being from the Free State, it's a beautiful place, but in terms of information, lack of exposure, the commercial awareness side of things, we lack from that perspective. So I felt like, you know, change one person at a time. I think that's pretty much my motto when I started. And quite frankly, you know, I look back and I was meant to be in this space, because if I look back many years ago, I don't think I was going to be where I am. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through drive and determination, yet I am here. So, yeah.
Awesome. What does that feel like? Like you mentioned now, you know, a few years ago, you didn't think that you'd be here. Looking back, if you could go back to that person who kind of doubted that this would be possible, what would you say to Kekeletso a few years ago?
I think it's just, you know, there's a couple of stuff that I can touch on. I think, you know, before I didn't have a mentor myself. Mm. And your surroundings, I guess, it sounds cliche, but who you surround yourself with has a very big impact in the, you know, your direction of life. So part of it was just aligning myself with the right people in the right spaces. And also, ultimately, if I look back, it's just that motivation and drive. If I don't have that, or a purpose of some sort, then, you know, I'm just, you know, existing type of situation. So, and then also looking at my problems at the time, that fueled my motivation and drive also. So it's like, you have a problem. What I normally used to say is, okay, this is the problem. If I don't have a solution, what's my recommendation? Mm-hmm. And then that recommendation will lead me to the solution. So, yeah.
Okay. So always sort of looking at gaps, looking at opportunities, looking at a way to be better and to do better, big roles in your life.
No, absolutely. I think learning never really ends. Mm. A late uncle of mine said the following words to me, I think I'll never really forget. He told me that, you know, never forget where you're from, because that will dictate where you're going, and ultimately never feel that you've arrived, because that's the start of your decline. So I think those words really have stuck with me. And throughout my journey, I've realized, you know, that's been at the back of my head type of situation.
Yeah. Would you say that there's been one particularly best day of your career, or particular highlight of your career so far?
Yeah, I think a couple, but I'll just select probably two. One being, I used to work for an organization, which is a a software development sort of arm in terms of in the ICT space. Mm-hmm. So I got exposed to a national project. It was a Rand Water project. They were looking to employ about 15,000 students, and it was a national project. So I was assigned to the Northern Cape mm-hmm. space. So you go into Kimberley, Upington, DR, Springbok, all the key places in the Northern Cape. I think that was the biggest highlight of my career. Mm-hmm. Second to that was, you know, tapping into the development side, like, you know, outside of my work is like that mentorship programs that I'm part of. I am part of the University of Pretoria mentorship program, SMA mentorship academy, and also in my own personal capacity, I do take sort of mentees throughout the year. Mm. So I think those are the two main things that I think is the highlight or what I thoroughly enjoy, because they're very much like impactful sort of projects in my life.
What is the importance of mentorship? You mentioned that sort of you never had many mentors, but that now you have the opportunity to mentor people. What are some of the challenges not having had mentorship now being a mentor that you've maybe run into or realized?
I think the biggest one is like misinformation, right? Mm. So misinformation in such a way, if I don't have someone or someone in front of me that I can see, this person looks like me and I can be there, it's possible, right? And then the challenges will also be you feel lost. Like if you're lost and if you have a mentor, that's someone that can guide you. And I think the biggest one is finding yourself with the wrong crowd, right? So if I don't have someone who's there that has those ethical values or really good standing values, then, you know, I'm susceptible to be just pulled in any direction because, you know, as human beings, we long to belong, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just human nature. So you want to be part of something, and eventually you find yourself part of something indirectly or directly, mm-hmm. you know. So I think those are the key things that I can think of at the top of my head. And being a mentor myself is identifying those things that I found myself, like all the negative and the positive things that came out of my journey. I sort of embed that in the people that I'm mentoring.
What actually is a graduate recruitment specialist? What do you do?
So basically as a graduate recruitment specialist, so you have a portfolio, which is graduate recruitment. Mm-hmm. In that portfolio, you have, you know, the candidate's attorney program. So what that entails is obviously for you to become an admitted attorney, you have to go through the candidate's attorney program, which would entail that you'd have certain firms have rotations, some don't. But that will entail having rotation into different specific areas. You know, it could be rotated into employment law, or it could be rotated into dispute resolutions. So that's the candidate's opinion. So that will speak to, you know, performance discussions, speaking to, you know, getting registered with the LPC, which is the Legal Practice Council, doing your PLT also, whilst with our firm is in-house. Sometimes they go through LEED. And then that will entail having relationships with universities, you know, to have a pipeline of potential candidates. It differs from firm to firm which year they start looking at in their first year of their LLB. But now, obviously, the curriculums have changed for pretty much with the university. Some universities will have a 4-year stream, 3-year stream in terms of the LLB, or someone will do their undergrad first and do a BCom law or BA, and then convert into an LLB. So would pretty much have relationships with universities, campus initiatives, all of that. And then you'd have the internal stuff, which would be, you know, reporting into a body or reporting into your line manager also. So you have several reports that you have to do to say, you know, this is where we are for 2025. For big law firms, recruit 2 years in advance. Mm-hmm. So you'd have stats upon that. You'd have strategy discussions to say each and every year you can't keep on doing the same thing. You have to always constantly evolve with the market, where the market is going, you know, looking at market trends, mm-hmm. looking at what we can do better, improving processes internally, looking at the onboarding, the induction of the people that's going to come into the firm, you know, looking at market trends, which speak into, like, you know, salary analysis, understanding how everything is happening in the market. So this portfolio is quite broad, and it differs from firm to firm, but it's just basically early talent. So looking at any young talent going into the law space. So that's what I'd look after.
Okay. And two things. I think firstly, how do you sort of, if we do have some LLB students listening, what does that process look like? How do they get in touch? How do they get into this recruitment pool?
Okay. So how they go into this, one part of it is whenever we just recently was there now, and when was it, March? Yeah, I think we were there in March. Mm-hmm. Was it April? Sorry, my brain is fried. But we were there for the career fair, right? And that's one way. So they can interact with it, meet myself or my team that will be there on the ground. And then they can inquire in terms of how we go about with the firm. We normally interact with them from that perspective. And, you know, the lovely things that firms bring, which is freebies. Nice. You know, you have a notepad or, you know, have a bottle or something to remember the firm with. So normally with our merch, we will have QR codes. And then that QR code can link you to the website. So going back to how they can go into our pool is through LinkedIn, which, our firm has a presence there, also other social media platforms. And then we have our website, which we direct them to go there. There's a lot of information on the website and the career services side of things. We've designed a booklet, like sort of like a guide for them to explain to them what we look for in terms of soft skills, technical skills, all of that before they apply. Then once they apply, so like I said, mentioned earlier, we recruit 2 years in advance. So right now as it stands, would have 2025 application, 2026 applications. July will be 2027. We'll be opening for 2027, so 25 will be closed by then. And then when they click on the link, then they'll go on a questionnaire. They'll ask supporting documents and so forth. But then I'd encourage them to read and do a bit of research before they apply, as opposed to doing mass applications. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So you also mentioned sort of these trends that you guys need to stay ahead of and things like that. How can students also sort of, like, what are some good places where students can either go find some information or stay ahead of these trends that law firms, big law firms like yourselves are looking to recruit into?
I think the easiest one is just working with the career services of that particular university. You guys also have a career service. So I think, you know, that us as firms speaking to the universities will obviously keep them, you know, updated to say, okay, we've recruited X amount of people from your university. Mm. When they're coming into our pool, these are the things that we see that your students can improve on or whatever the case may be. Then that can filter through their career services and seeing where they can, what they can do for their students, right? Mm-hmm. That's one form of it. Another part of it is there's a lot of societies in the legal, profession. So being part of those societies, being part of all these initiatives in terms of, you know, workshops, we as law firms, we tend to obviously partner with the universities to do workshop like CV writing workshops, email etiquette, you know, mock interviews, stuff like that. So being part of that, those sort of things also is sort of informative. And mentorship programs also is another form of a great thing to actually keep up with the trends, because the people that would be mentoring you would be, you know, a specialist in their own professions.
Yeah.
Even if they're not, to a certain degree, they'll have some sort of information, because as a student, you don't know much really. Mm. But any sort of information that's helpful will keep you up to speed with what's happening around.
Okay. In looking at that, so we've got a bit of a clearer picture now of what you actually do, sort of how students can, you know, get in touch and sort of get into those bigger recruiting pools. On the other side of that, how did you actually get into this line of work? Could you sort of tell us a little bit about you? I see you've obviously studied at a few different institutions. You're also continuing now with a national diploma in marketing management. So sounds like a forever student to me. What was that journey like for you? Obviously, as you mentioned, you also came from a sort of underprivileged background. And I mean, here you're sitting in a very good looking office. how do you go? What did your journey look like?
I think for me, like I said, it was a situation where if I had to tap into what happened to me, is that if you don't come from a decent background, you normally necessarily apply for, what do you call this, like funding for mm-hmm. your tuition. So I was fortunate enough at the time, after I matriculated, I had like an incentive from De Beer, which is a mining company, and then they award me like something about around maybe 15 something thousand towards my tuition. And that's when I decided to study marketing management at the time. Hence, that's why I'm currently still doing that till now, okay. which was many years ago. So at the time, I couldn't obviously complete it for, you know, obvious reasons. And then I asked myself, okay, what else can I do since now I can't necessarily, you know, continue my studies? And I started going on like platforms like PNET. And for me to know what PNET is, I needed to obviously align myself with the people and, you know, recruiters. What are recruiters doing? What are agencies? I did my own research at that particular time. Mm. And mind you, I'm just a young person with like zero experience, no qualifications on there. And, you know, in my hundreds applications that I've made, and I know a lot of students now get disheartened when they get that regret email from whatever organization that they get from. I got, in one of those mails, I got an interview request. So I remember at the time, it was like for a reception recruitment administrator role. I was like, well, there wasn't many males in that industry. I was like, but I'll be the first, yeah. you know. So when I went through for that interview and I just showed the hunger and determination, and I remember the lady at the time, she was just like, okay, cool. We'll give you a 3 month contract and we'll see how everything goes. And then from there, you know, within 2 months, you know, I completed all my duties that she had assigned to me. And then she was like, okay, we'll offer you a permanent contract. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Nice. And then from there, that's pretty much exposed me to, you know, the agency recruitment side of things. So, which is having clients and then servicing those clients. So let's say the likes of a client in the financial services to, you know, require services to fill particular roles, like any business service roles. Or so I was a generalist at that time. So I just took everything. I did learnerships at the time, disability learnerships. So that's where my journey started. And then, you know, I continued with agency recruitment until for like 4 years. Then I went into more like a more corporate role. And then from there, then I went into internal recruitment. And then from being into internal recruitment, then I was sent into an RPO, which is called a recruitment process outsourcing. So you'd be assigned to a client and sit at the client and actually service that client where they are. And then from there, then the client would look at me and say, you know what, you seem to have really great, you seem to be good with people and so forth. We think that you could be good as an account manager. So I was like, huh? Account manager? Like, I don't have any experience. Like, oh, well, we're willing to train you and so forth. And then I became an account manager for 2 years. But account management still had an element of HR in it. So because you have people management in there. So I've never really lost the HR recruitment side of things. So it's always been there. But I've been into several roles. And then from there, then through working with the clients that I've been working with, while I was still an account manager, I was approached by one of the law firms and they say, listen, you worked with us about 4 years ago. Would you still want to go into, you know, strictly now specializing into HR? So I said, well, sign me up. I will be there. That's where my journey of, you know, being now more specialized in grad recruitment started. So that's how I ended up here, which is a very long journey. It wasn't a like straight route and say, this is the way. But somehow landed my feet in the space that I'm at.
It sounds like you're a doer. You just get in there, and if there's an opportunity, you're going to go make it happen and learn as you go and just apply what you know to the next step as you go along.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a great point to mention. Because looking at back at it, and hence that's why I said at the time I didn't think I'd be where I am, was one of those things. As a young man, I did not know exactly which direction to look at or go. And over that discovery, it's just like you have to understand yourself and understand what your skill set is, and then, you know, then start improving on that. Not everybody is meant to be in my space. You need to also like discover not everybody's supposed to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're studying it and passing it doesn't necessarily you're going to be great at it practically. Mm. So it's just understanding, you know, what your skills are, and that can dictate where your career would go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, because sort of, as you mentioned, you've just, you know, worked your way to where you are now. If you were to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, would you go a different route? Would you do anything different?
Nah, I'm a person who doesn't regret anything in life. I always believe whether negative or positive, it's a learning curve. Mm. I always find lessons in everything that I do. Where I failed, I found lessons why I failed. And then find a way to succeed. So I would not do anything differently.
What would you say to young people who have those pressures and who are afraid to fail?
I think that is the number one key thing that I sort of say to them, is that for me to be good at what I do, I've always been willing to receive constructive feedback. Mm. Whether everything is going great, because I mean, that's a blessing and a curse with someone who performs in varsity, right? Mm. So they don't know what criticism is. Let's say you getting golden key and you always, you know, appearing in these awards. What can go wrong in that sense? You know, so my advice to everybody is that always leave room for disappointment and find a way to understand, if I am disappointed, what made me fail? Mm. And if you haven't failed as yet, you will, when you go into a work environment, you will get a lot of constructive criticism, right?
Yeah.
So anyone that I mentor is, I always ask them, like, what is your development areas, right? Mm. And if someone tells me I don't have any, that's a lie. That is absolutely a lie. There's no perfect human being. Even I am still standing here. Over the years, there's always something I'm finding that I have to upskill on. Mm. You know, I could overcome something, then I need to find something else that I can. So learning never really stops.
So obviously, it sounds like you really enjoy your job and that it's immensely fulfilling. But obviously, no job is perfect. Just like you mentioned, no person is perfect. So what are some of the what are some of the downsides to your job? What are some of the, either the sort of difficult or potentially boring or, you know, not so nice things associated with your job?
I think any job for that matter where it requires reporting into seniors, you always have to take that not every idea that you might have may be approved or seen as a good idea. So just understanding that, or sometimes the company that you're working at the time doesn't have the budget for what you want to do, that could be delayed to the next 2 years, whatever the case may be. Yeah. You need to be prepared mentally for such discussions, and also dealing with people in general. Human beings are very interesting species. Mm. You're going to get good people, you're going to get bad people.
Yeah.
You know, and dealing with bad people, you still need to learn to be professional in any environment, whether it's in my environment or any environment that you find yourself in. Mm. Professionalism is a big part in this generation. That it's a skill that needs to be learned, because it doesn't necessarily mean if someone doesn't agree with you or have the same views as you, you have to be rude or have to, you know, retaliate. You know, so I think that's dealing with human beings is always complex. You're going to find yourself in deep waters sometimes with people. Yeah, so it's just learning how to maneuver and learning people in general. It's a skill that not many people possess, but over the years you learn to harness those skills, to know how to move in difficult, you know, situations.
Right. Well, I think usually towards the end of our interviews, I've got a couple of quick fire questions. So let me run through them. Nothing too risque there. So quick one, coffee or tea?
I enjoy both, so it's difficult. So in the morning, I start with coffee when I've had really a tiring time. Mm-hmm. If I am not really tired, I'll start with the rooibos tea. Okay. So it just depends on the day.
Okay, cool. And sweet or salty?
Definitely sweet. I love sweet stuff. So yeah.
Good. Okay. Remote or on-site?
Both. Hybrid.
Hybrid. Nice. And to complete the sentence, every morning I...
Every morning I read the Bible. That's the first thing I do.
Good. Awesome. And last one, my favorite word is...
I might get in trouble for answering. Nah, I'll say my second favorite word is, I always say what? That's what I always say. Yeah.
That's amazing. Awesome. Okay, Kaletso, thank you so much. You're a very busy man and we really, really appreciate your time that you're taking for us. And yeah, thank you for all those nuggets of wisdom. I'm sure our listeners will find that very, very interesting.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.